All right, so we're here with MRC Pontiac's Public Safety Coordinator, Julian Gagnon, to talk about the recently adopted Fire Safety Cover Plan. Julian, how's it going?
I'm very good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad, not too bad. All right, so can you explain a little bit about what the Fire Safety Cover Plan is specifically and what kind of work goes into creating it in the first place?
Yeah, so the Fire Safety Cover Plan is a document, sort of a contract between municipalities at a local level and the government or the Ministry of Public Security at the provincial level, with the MRC Pontiac being the overseeing body that signs the document after it's being adopted by the municipalities at the local level. So it allows municipalities the power to intervene in case of a fire, obviously, which was always the case, but essentially gives the minimum requirements that are needed. These are guidelines that are given by the Ministry of Public Security to local municipalities so that they may reach the minimum requirements needed in fire safety based on extensive research at the provincial level, and that allows a municipality to effectively fight fire in the event of a structure fire.
So it's basically just sort of a framework, from what I understand, for local departments to comply with the provincial guidelines or rules that they have set out.
Correct. That's the right way to put it, framework. And that is through a long negotiation process, we hammer out the details of what is acceptable in a rural area, of course, like ours, a little different from what would be seen in the city, for example. We allow for a little bit more time to arrive on scene, but the number of gallons of water, for example, in a truck is more important in a rural area because water is, while it's more accessible, it is less in a hydrant network and more out of the natural resources of water across the county.
Geez, so you really get into the minutia of firefighting, like you're saying, like response times, that kind of thing.
Correct. Yeah. So everything from the number of firefighters needed on scene to the number of gallons of water are all limited. At least the minimum requirements are in the Fire Safety Cover Plan.
And this gets updated every year. Just sort of, I imagine there's not too many big changes year to year. But what kind of things are you seeing?
So the very first fire safety cover plan in the MRC here was adopted in 2011. They're a 5-year renewable plan, per se. The first fire safety cover plan, of course, required many municipalities to get up to date, update their equipment, do a little bit of recruiting, get the proper training to abide by the fire safety cover plan. But since then, we're into now our second fire safety cover plan that will be actually expiring this year, due for renewal in 2022. It will continue to basically repeat the same actions that we must do. All municipalities have been up to requirements. They are up to date, and they just simply follow the regular maintenance and testing of all their equipment and keeping up on their training for their firefighting personnel.
And this also gets into jurisdictional questions as well, correct? We have a sort of some municipalities that have their own departments, some that sort of share them with other regions there. Is that those types of discussions part of the cover plan as well?
Of course. So when the minimum requirements are set, some municipalities, for example, may not have the manpower necessary to abide by those rules. So in those situations, municipalities have to come up with solutions to provide adequate service for their citizens. So if that means joining their services, maybe because the manpower is lacking or the amount of equipment needed to intervene adequately is no longer feasible, at least on a budgetary level, for example, at a local municipality, they have the option of joining their resources, pooling their resources with a neighbor, and signing intermunicipal agreements for that type of service to offer the best service, or at least the minimum service required by law, to their citizens. We see this often with municipalities that are a little bit smaller, or municipalities that often work together. In the county, across the county, we have 18 municipalities, which are serviced by 10 fire departments. So there is a lot of working together. Some are still on their own, and that is a cost-benefit analysis that is done by all councils in that aspect.
And so with this renewal approaching next year, what would you say are the key aspects or the key details that need to be hammered out before it's passed?
So the upcoming details that will need to be looked at are providing the extra services and having the training required for offering extra services. So for example, some municipalities are slowly getting into water rescue or continuing their provision of service for the jaws of life or, for example, an ice rescue situation. These are all services that are not mandatory, but municipalities see the benefit of offering that service, and therefore they should be added to a fire safety cover plan so that we may outline the general rules behind offering that type of service. Not only is there that, but the other big aspect of the fire safety cover plan will be offering services regardless of municipal boundaries. So the current situation is a municipality right now must offer service on its territory, but in the event that a fire hall or local fire hall may be closer to another residence compared to the local municipality where that residence is situated, may have to intervene on a mandatory basis as pushed by the government. So, for example, if somebody has a home that is bordering another municipality and just so happens to be closer to the neighboring fire hall compared to their own, that neighboring fire hall may need to intervene from the initial moments of a fire instead of waiting on the local fire department, which may have a further address or a further distance to travel. And in that situation, the government may impose that the closest fire hall intervene. And in our MRC currently, we have many situations like that on borders of certain municipalities that will have to be addressed.
And so it's where exactly does that get addressed? Is that just sort of you talk to the chiefs and then advise the dispatchers on that situation? Or what exactly needs to change there?
Yeah, so the protocols themselves, so every address is listed in the 911 database. We update that database on a regular basis. And that each address would have its deployment protocol. So each fire department would be listed with all their vehicles. And then if there is a fire at that specific address, the 911 dispatchers will know, hey, for this address, here are the fire departments we send. And for the another address, each address has its own deployment protocol. So they're set in batches, but they're also individual in the sense that if some fire departments need to intervene over others, they're all adjusted adequately in consequence.
And who all is hashing all these details out? I imagine obviously it's the fire chiefs themselves, but are there mayors or other elected officials that sit on the committee?
Yeah, there's a committee at the MRC, the Fire Safety Committee, if you will, or we often call it the CSI, Comité Sécurité Incendie, which takes care of all these mandates and ensures the proper running of the fire safety cover plan. So we have a committee comprised of the two MRC local employees, if you will, in fire safety, the public safety coordinator and the fire preventionist. We also have four mayors, four DGs, and five fire chiefs sit on that committee. So they have the mandate of doing the negotiation and hammering out the details of the fire safety cover plan. And then the municipalities themselves, once we have the final document ready, it goes for approval at the local level. Each municipal council can read through it and debate its details. And if they all accept, then it becomes accepted at the provincial level. They have to adopt it by resolution.
Okay. And as far as you're saying, these are 5-year plans, and a whole lot can change over that course of 5 years. So looking ahead for this next one for next year, what I guess issues or things are you guys anticipating as far as say like these jurisdictional issues or say the departments themselves as far as staffing levels go and that stuff? So what kind of contingencies do you have planned?
I would say that's the biggest challenge. The biggest challenge going forward will be manpower. The idea that it's sort of a combination of things. The the aging of the population, which we've sort of become, quote unquote, a retirement community. We seem to have all our young people going outside the region to work, is an issue for fire departments. But not only that, the requirements of becoming a firefighter have put a lot of training requirements on these quote unquote volunteers that I call them. They're no longer volunteer firemen because when you join a fire department, you must complete it's well over 200 hours of training before you get your certification as a firefighter. And due to those constraints, it's getting more and more difficult to recruit. So in areas where we have to provide a minimum number of manpower for a fire, more and more municipalities are either going to have to get that manpower from a neighbor in municipal aid, mutual aid agreements that multiple fire departments will have to respond. And we will have to try to limit the time it takes for those fire departments to get there, because obviously when they're coming from outside the territory, the travel time is obviously causing extra delays. So that's the biggest challenge going forward. And of course, we are trying everything in our power to do more recruiting, whether it be social media campaigns or trying to advertise the need that we require in manpower.
Yeah, so just it seems like you have further interdependence upon each other there. Do you see, the potential for more departments to sort of merge or amalgamate, I guess?
Yep, yeah. We had a study in 2017 that actually gave us a great outlook. We had different scenarios. The MRC was responsible for getting this study that was done. It gave us the different scenarios from going from status quo is today to as far as joining the entire county's fire departments into one organization and the benefits. And, there were options in between. So, amalgamation between a few neighbors to maybe two or three different services across the county and into one big service. So the different options were there, the benefits, the advantages, and the disadvantages of each one, because even joining pooling resources, we still have the same manpower issues, for example, but the standardizing of procedures and the one organizing body, which means only maybe one set of governing chiefs, if you will, or, we only need one leadership role. The more fire departments come together, it can make things easier. So there are, to answer your question maybe more specifically, there are fire departments currently who are looking to integrate. I would say there's, at any given time, there's always a few municipalities negotiating back and forth. There likely will be more in the next few years, and I can see even more in the years after that when councils start realizing that they're having more and more difficulty meeting the requirements. It's almost inevitable.
For sure. And similar discussions have taken place about the municipalities themselves even, right? Like we got 18 municipalities for 14,000 people. I don't know, there's been tons of study on the amalgamation even at the municipal level too. So I guess what would you say would be the time frame on something like that? Like how long would that process take to merge two departments?
There's a negotiation process that from start to finish could take, I would say minimally, it could be done within a few months, going up to a couple years. Depends on the size of the amalgamation. Sometimes a municipality will simply realize that they no longer have any manpower, for example, if they just happen to fall to just a few firefighters. They will maybe approach a neighbor and ask, hey, can you provide me with a service? Because that's one type of integration that can happen is please just take our one or two firefighters and provide us the service necessary for a fee. And it's a simple service contract that one municipality would just simply serve another. That's usually the case where if you have a city or a larger municipality, neighboring a very small municipality will often provide that service. And for a fee, those type of agreements are very easy to hammer out because you're basically saying, meet all the requirements and we'll pay you X amount of dollars a year. that could be hammered out within a few months versus a full integration of two fire departments that are of equal size would take a lot more time because they've got to evaluate how much equipment do we have and what happens. You know, agreements always have to take into consideration what happens if the agreement falls apart, who takes which equipment back, and what do we do with the personnel, and, you know, what kind of rules do we do? And, of course, there has to be a governing body between the two municipalities, so some kind of a creation of a committee to run the fire department between the municipalities with, of course, the decisions being made individually by each council. So the more municipalities get involved, the trickier it gets. But there's obviously that one takes a little bit more time.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Sounds like, yeah, a lot of moving parts going on there. In regards to recruitment there, like you were saying too, you're not at all alone in having staffing issues. I think plenty of other industries businesses yeah. are having that problem too. But what would you say would be, I guess, your focus as far as increasing recruitment over the next few years? What options do we have?
We were hoping, the MRC had hoped to receive the result of a government pilot project. You will, there were two different MRCs across the county, or across the province, sorry, that had pilot projects for giving high school students Firefighter 1 courses. So similar to a welding program where some students have maybe a little more difficulty academically, get lined up into some kind of a non-typical high school classroom. They're offering the same type of service to high schools in the province that to get high school students involved in firefighting. And if it could have been an option or an extracurricular activity, if you will, to take the training in firefighting. And of course, when they reach the age of majority and can join a fire department, they would already have the training necessary. So that was an avenue that the MRC was hoping to tap into. We don't have the result of that pilot project yet, but that's just one option. The other one is basically going out and getting out there at job fairs and recruiting on social media to try to get as many local residents involved. Of course, we try to get them when it's a resident that's established of a certain age, of course, somewhere in the range of, you know, anywhere from 20 to 50 years old is the best time to get somebody who can get the experience necessary to eventually not only become a firefighter, but maybe some kind of an officer on the fire service. And so we try to get as much recruiting through those channels as we can, but it's still very difficult.
Yeah, like you were saying there, that the time for training just seems like such a huge bottleneck too, and it's nothing really you can do about it. You got to have professionals or at least someone that's trained to do this kind of stuff. But yeah, no,
right. I mean, you're at the end of the day, you're firefighting. You may only have one structure fire a year to respond to, but you still have to have the knowledge to act accordingly, safely. And you're at the end of the day, you're technically putting your life at risk. So this health and safety is the most important aspect of firefighting, and therefore you must be adequately trained not to injure or, you know, even worse, have any deaths in firefighting. Of course, it happens. That's the nature of the job, but it's health and safety has always been on the government's first and foremost, the government's priority, and that's what we have to abide by, and that's why there's so much training. You don't not only need to know the operation of a tool or a piece of equipment, but also the health and safety side of it.